Which elders now? One of the elders said unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seal, the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. I had a television evangelist that even wrote a book on the seven spirits of God, and they are trying to interpret that verse 5. The seven spirits, it says seven horns. That lamb had seven horns. I spoke about the seven eyes. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me read it again. Which verse is that? Verse 6. Hallelujah. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts. Am I correct? I hope we know the four beasts. Verse 7 of Revelation chapter 4. Those four beasts, they were also there before the throne of God. The first one is what? Lion. The next one is what? Calf. The next one is what? Face of a man. And the fourth one is what? That is verse 7 of Revelation chapter 4. Okay? And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb. Hallelujah. As it had been slain, having seven horns. What is the meaning of a horn? Power, anointing, power. And seven eyes. Eyes here has to do with prophecy, prophetic eyes. Hallelujah. Which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Because the church was going to go through seven church ages. Each age, the seven spirits there was talking about the move of the Spirit of God in those seven church ages. God has only one spirit. He manifested in seven different dispensations, and in this age, the Spirit of God is moving now. If not for the Spirit of God, where will that sister have the audacity to go and question a GO of a big church like that? Something gave her that boldness. It is the Spirit of God to this age. Praise the Lord. Okay? Alright? And he came, verse 7, and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And you can finish reading that on your own. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So go back now to chapter 10. You now know the history of that book. That book he's holding has something to do with redemption. There is a mystery, there is a secret in that book, that God did not find anyone worthy to commit it into their hands. Among the things in that book are the names of everyone predestinated seed of God that will be saved. It is there. Because it's a book that you have to keep watching. Has Moses Alu come in yet? No. Make us still sit down. It's still the Piapalo. Still the Piapalo. Uncle Jade, has he come in yet? See the smoke go for Mandela's. Igbo, has he come in, Godwin? See me agbero for shodi. Madueke, don't come in. Still selling vitamin C. Every one of you, he was busy watching it one by one, one by one, one by one. It's in that book. The secret of the gates of hell, of how Satan will try to take over the church, is in that book. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Everything that we needed to know for our salvation was in that book. Hey, blessed be the name of the Lord. Who is worthy for that task of giving that secret to? Who? Nobody else was worthy. Why? Only one man. That's why salvation comes by him. Redemption comes by him. Hallelujah. All judgment is committed unto him. He's the one that prevailed. He obeyed even unto the death on the cross. He humbled himself and obeyed. Not my will, but your will be done, O Lord. That is the only human being on earth that subjected his own will to the will of the Father. All the rest of us, we are all carrying on with our own will. Even Moses, the meekest man on earth, allowed his own will to go above the will of God. Only one man that humbled himself and carried out that ministry and left this earth uncontaminated without any sin. Poverty, he suffered poverty. One disciple followed him, "Master, I'm following you." He said, "You are following me." He said, "Foxes have a hole, birds have a nest, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You want to follow me?" But these days, it's a complete opposite now. Hallelujah. Now, as a pastor, I can't be poor. No. My God is a good God. My God is a good God. Praise the Lord. That's the gospel now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, Revelation chapter 10. And I saw verse 1. Okay? Verse 2 now. And he had in his hand a little book open. You know the book now. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. And cried, let me finish the reading and then I explain. And cried with a loud voice as when a lion roared. Is he not the lion of the tribe of Judah? And when he had cried, seven thunders. Somebody shout seven thunders. Seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. That means he heard what the seven thunders said. John heard what the seven thunders said. But he was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, "Seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. Therefore, till this very moment, what the seven thunders said, no man knows it," because John didn't write it. So, if any group of people say thunder has been revealed, they are lying. Amen. Verse 5. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. That is, when he stood up one leg on the sea, one leg on the land, what picture does he give? That position that he took, the effect is going to be felt all over the world. But note it, by the time he stood up, he swore by him that liveth forever and ever, that created all things, he swore by the God of creation that there should be time no longer. Church, this was a future thing that John was shown. Things
that will surely come to pass. A time is going to come when that mighty angel will stand up. By the time he stands up with that book in his hand, he will swear that time, there should be time no longer. Time for what? Time of grace. Grace is closing. There should be time no longer. By the time he stands up, and it is by the time he stands up that he cried like a lion roared, and after he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. That means by the time that the thunders will utter their voices, there should be time no longer, because he has stood up. Where has he been sitting? Thank you. Three offices that Jesus Christ has. The first one is a prophet. The second one is a high priest. And the third one is a king. He came and fulfilled the first office of a prophet. He delivered, thus said the Lord, and went back. He went back and is now seated in the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for you and for me. So he is on the mercy seat. That is why salvation is still taking place now. God's mercy is still available now. And people are playing with it, as if it will remain like this forever. But he has been sitting down there. One day he's going to stand up. And once he stands up from the mercy seat, no more salvation for anybody. Because that mercy seat is going to change now to a seat of judgment. That is what my emphasis is today. So that you understand, people are just going to church, and all you know to do is to bind devil, cast out spirits, see visions of to expose the enemy, and that is all we think is in grace. Grace is a program of God. It has a beginning, it has an end. It's a program with items. Item 1, item 2, item 3. That's what I preach that message, the divine timetable of God. By the time that angel stands up, mighty angel stands up, salvation is over. Listen, church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Open it, because some people are hearing us for the first time. Shout it if you see it. Read it out loud. Just jump up. I give you a microphone. Verse 16. Read it very loud, please. Put on microphone before you.
Praise the Lord. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first.
Go on. Finish it. Finish it. Start again. Start again.
For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel.
It's a common scripture, but somebody may be hearing it for the first time. So you old timers, especially all of you sitting in this front row, be patient. All of you, I don't know. And before I quote, and I don't talk and finish. And that's very good. Be patient. Let somebody who is hearing. Some people open mouth, they never see that scripture. All the scripture, where are they reading now? There are common scriptures in this church. Is there any scripture I open here where I never opened before? But new people come to this church every day. And somebody else, we buy this tape today and take it to a relation who you want to go to heaven. See, there are some deliverance that is done by prayer. For the person to go and marry. Your sister that is late in marriage. If you want the person to go and marry, deliverance from witches and wizards, you have to pray. That is why we're organizing program next week for family deliverance. But if you want somebody to go to heaven, give him revelation. No prayer will take anybody to heaven. It is revelation. Praise the Lord. So if you want somebody to follow you to go in the rapture, and that person is in the denomination, get our tapes and give it to them. They will hear something. While Peter yet spake. Amen. Praise the Lord. He said the Lord himself, this is how God will come. The Lord himself will come first. This is the order. Three stages of rapture. The first one is what? The shout. It is a ministry. The second stage is what? The voice of the archangel. It's a ministry. The third one is what? The trump of God. Trumpet of God. It is also another stage in our way home. It is written in a way that except God grants you understanding, you will never know, because the book of Revelation is a love letter to the bride. It's from the bridegroom to the bride. Mixed multitude in the church, everybody cannot go. Only those who are his own will know it. Do you think you are hearing me by accident? Do you think you are hearing me by accident? No, it's not by accident. Because I was sitting there in a church like this too. I had nothing to do. I said, let me just go sit down for church that day. Suddenly one man came like this and said, God sent us a messenger. That is how I got to know about William Branham's ministry. But you think that I was sitting out there by accident? No, the footsteps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Sunday service is not a healing and deliverance service. We don't do counseling today. So you certainly didn't come here so that you will see a prophet or see Pastor Moses. You came here to worship the Lord. You did not come on your own. God ordered your footsteps here. And that is why we take advantage and tell you what you should hear. In case you don't come this way again, it will help you stand wherever you are. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that shout is the beginning. And that shout is what Jesus Christ spoke about in Matthew 25. At midnight, there is a cry made. Come out of her, my people. That cry says, behold the bridegroom coming. He said, go ye out and meet him. Get out of the denominational errors. And come back to the world. And meet him. Because the only place you can ever meet God is not in any church, it's not in any address. You meet God because God is in his word. God is in his word. God is not in any building. Let nobody tell you anything. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is light. Matthew 24, he said, as the light, lightning from the east to the west, so shall it be. Concerning the coming of the Lord Jesus. He said, if they say, lo, he is in Ejesha, don't go there. He is in Ekotu, don't go there. He is anywhere by the expressway, don't go there. The kingdom of God cometh not by observation. The kingdom of God is within you. That's the Bible. That's the Bible. So in any address. Let nobody deceive you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'll soon close. Chapter 10. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The second stage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 16. After the shout. And that shout, church. And that shout is this end time message. This shout is the ministry of William Marion Branham. This shout, because he is the angel to the seven church age. Revelation chapter 10 verse 7 says, but in the days, we shall read it. We shall get there now. We shall get there. He's the seventh angel. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he has revealed to his servant the prophets. The ministry of William Branham fulfills Malachi chapter 4 verse 5 and verse 6b, part B. Because verse 6 is fulfilled two times. Pastor Thomas, you promised me that you are going to teach them about dual fulfillment. You don't teach them? You don't teach them? You never teach them. Tell them, oh, tell them so that they will understand Bible. It says on the school teaching, praise the Lord. To turn the heart of the children back to our faith of our apostolic fathers. He had the ministry to bring the two children of God back to the apostolic faith as recorded in the scriptures here. The seventh angel. That's why his ministry is unique. And God cannot use anyhow man for this last ministry. Oh yes. And it pleased him to use a man that didn't go to school. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad that you have come across such a ministry? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. If it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. I've been singing since the Lord brought me out. Oh, if it had not been for Jesus, oh, where would I be? Oh, I'm so glad that the Lord brought me out. When that shout, you respond to that shout, you come out, then you are ready for the next stage, which produces the seven thunders. If you don't respond to the shout, you can't get to the next stage. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You have to understand it. He says, with the voice of the archangel. Which archangel? That archangel that Apostle Paul was speaking of is the archangel in Revelation chapter 10 verse 1. That mighty angel is the archangel. Jesus Christ himself that stood up, the voice of the archangel, he screamed like a lion roared. That is the voice. And when he screamed, seven thunders uttered their voices. That is the next stage. We are waiting for the seven thunders. And the seven thunders comes about after he stands up from the mercy seat. Luke chapter 13. Who will help me read it? Who will help me read it? Somebody's up. Verse 24.
Strive to enter in at the straight gate.
Strive. Struggle to enter in through that rough gate.
For many I say unto you.
Now listen, listen, listen. Go on.
For many I say unto you.
Yes.
We seek to enter in and shall not be able.
See, many we seek to enter in but shall not be able. If they are seeking to enter in, it means they have decided to give their lives to Christ. They are going to church. They want to go to heaven. They want to pass through that way and go to heaven. He said, but they will not be able to enter. Read on.
Verse 25. When once the master of the house...
That is where I am going. When once what?
The master of the house is risen up.
When the master of the house stands up. If he's going to rise up, go on.
And has shut the door.
And he has closed the door.
And he begin to stand without.
Because once he stands up, he lifts that book and screams and swears that there should be time no longer. Because that is what Luke is narrating there. Jesus I was the one saying it. Once the master stands up, that is the archangel, and shuts the door, because he has already sworn that there should be time no longer. The door of salvation is closed. What happens?
And he begin to stand without.
Now, no more salvation. You are still going to church. Saying what?
And to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us.
Begin to say, Lord, Lord, open to us.
And he shall answer and say, unto
what will he say?
I know you not whence you are.
I don't know you anywhere. Sit down, brother. You are seeing the connection. That is the next stage we are going into. She saw people with that believe seven thunder. Said they are waiting for. Who did I say they are waiting for? Pastor Moses? No. The thunder people. The thunder people were waiting for Pastor Moses. Or something like that. No, the thunder first. Hallelujah. What did they say? Who said they were waiting for? But they said they were waiting for Pastor Moses. Praise the Lord. Sister Favor, it's not waiting for me as a person. It's waiting for this revelation that Pastor Moses is talking about. Because it is not Pastor Moses as a person. I can still die tomorrow, but this revelation will stand. The revelation that I have echoed out, that seven thunders has not yet sounded. Because by the time they were saying that seven thunders has sounded, it was in the early 80s. And I gave my life to Christ, and I met them saying thunder has been revealed. If thunder has been revealed, then I would not have been saved. Because it was long after they claim it is revealed that I got saved. Hallelujah. And all of you sitting down here too. So many of you. So, because catch it. When the seven thunders will sound, salvation for the Gentile will be over. And very soon, the seven thunders will strike. Now let me tell you, if you read the revelation that God gave William Branham on 28 February 1963, when the angel came down, he preached the message we have in a book that we call The Revelation of the Seven Seals. I want you to watch. Every day, the angel will come and tell him each seal, what it meant. When he came to the seventh seal, which is the last seal, when it was open, Revelation chapter 8, open it. Revelation chapter 8. Please bear with me, the weather is hot, we're so close. I just saw a person herself, so I mean the suffer person. Who is reading it now? Chapter 8, verse 1.
And when he had the seventh seal.
When
he had opened the seventh seal.
When he had opened the seventh seal, because 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seals had been opened, and the meaning of each seal was given to William Branham, which all of us know today. Now the seventh seal was opened. What happened?
There was silence in heaven.
There was silence in heaven for how long?
About a space of an hour.
For about 30 minutes. There was silence.
Verse 2.
That is all we know. See that, sir? About the seventh seal. So what it was in the seventh seal, William Branham didn't know it. That is why he ended in it. He stopped. He said, there was silence. There was nothing the angel told him. But now, we, by the further light of the gospel now. Now remember, at the seventh seal, praise the Lord. That is when the age is closing. And so, listen, a man that has been sitting down on a position for about 2,000 years in heaven suddenly stands up. The whole host of heaven kept quiet, waiting what happened. For 30 minutes, that was the silence. Therefore, Revelation chapter 8 is connected to Revelation chapter 10. The seventh seal is connected to Revelation chapter 10. He stood up because another move is going to take place. And what it was, nobody knows. The whole heaven kept quiet. What happened? Oga dey sit down since 2,000 years. Suddenly he stands up. And he's standing up and they are watching what he's doing. And suddenly, he pays one leg. Because on the sea, one leg
on the earth and lifts up his hand and swore by him, hallelujah, that liveth forever and ever, that there should be time no more. Time is over, so I don't need to sit down there again. The last member has come in. Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Are you in that number? Oh, say, my God. Are you in that number? Oh, are you in that number? Are you in that number? Say, now you go answer by yourself. If you're in that number, now you go answer by yourself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let's go back to chapter 10. Are we there now? Hallelujah. Which verse am I? Verse 4. Okay, I'll finish that. Verse 8 now. Verse 7 says, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, hallelujah, when he shall begin to sound the mystery of God, listen, but in the days, listen, connect verse 6, oh blessed be the name of the Lord, with verse 7. Let me read it again, verse 6. There is a connection between verse 6 and verse 7. Let's read it. It says, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound the mystery, he didn't say the mysteries of God, no S there. It's one mystery, because why he quickly added there, but it means he's connecting it to something he's saying earlier. He's saying here, although when he stands up, there will be time no longer, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, although there will be time no more, when that angel will begin to sound, one mystery, the mystery of God, should be finished. What he's actually saying there is, that mystery is in Ephesians chapter 3. Apostle Paul said, the mystery is the salvation of the Gentiles. How the Gentiles came into the commonwealth of Israel. And not just coming in, we occupy a higher position than Israel. The first shall be the last. The last shall be the first. Praise the Lord. How we that we are not in, we now came and became the bride of Jesus Christ. Of course, because they rejected him, he came to us. He said, that mystery will be closing up. So what he's actually saying is, the closing of that door, we close with the message of the seventh angel. The message, the voice of the seventh angel closes the activities as he stands up. Praise the Lord. Verse 8. Now we are going to John. We are going to John ministry now. Verse 8. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. Verse 11 is what that sister saw. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. Since he said he will prophesy again, Sister Favor, you saw a group of people waiting and you asked them. The board was there. The screen, television screen was there. It simply means the ministry of John will be witnessed by the whole world, signified by that television screen that you saw. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They are waiting because, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The ministry of John closes the whole matter. What is he to do? He said, John. Now, this was going on in AD 96. John died few years after. So, when he said, John, we prophesy again. Now, listen, church. Because we have smart intellectuals that are holding this entire message. There is one of them here in Lagos that is saying he is John. He is Apostle John. And I have listened to his tape. I heard him say, unless you follow my ministry, you know, he said, except you believe that I am John, he said, you will never go in the rapture. I have heard it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And so many of you have come across some of their members. And they will tell you, are you still in Bride Assembly? Oh, we have moved far. We are gone now. We are now under John. He even printed a t-shirt. He was preaching at the altar, written there, John. Hallelujah. What is he saying? He said he has seen in the scripture that the next move that the bride is expecting is the ministry of John. And quickly, he runs there. He makes some permutations and makes some statements that some of his mentors, one like Raymond Jackson, that died in 2004, December 2004, he died. And his mentor, he made a comment concerning him and things like that. And so, he's bamboozled everybody. He snapped some photographs. Some photographs that were snapped in their little church there. And then, according to him, the light that we see in the reflections there behind him, he said, they are pillar of fire that appear in the ministry of William Branham. It is the same one following him. There's one preacher, Richard Gang, in Singapore. Thanks to Pastor Peter. He was the one that jammed that. And he saw it. And that man replied to him and showed him that he is a professional photographer. That if you use a digital camera and snap on a glossy background, there will be light reflection. And then brought his own pictures that he had been traveling all over the world preaching. And those same lights are there. And I read the reply that this Apostle John was now replying him and call him all manner of name, insulting him, saying he's a son of devil because he did not recognize him for saying whatever he said. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There is no message that man preaches that he will not make reference to this church. Those of you who have visited him before, every time they gather for their programs, number one is that Bride Assembly, Pastor Moses, in fact, he doesn't even call me Pastor, Moses, that man Moses, his own greatest problem in Nigeria is this church. He mentioned, he said that this church is occultic. I heard him, not be said then say, I have a pack of his messages because I am following that spirit because I have sheep I am watching over. so that I will counter whatever they are saying there and bring you back to the Bible to position yourself for what is coming ahead. And I heard him when he said, can't you see that they put blood under their altar? That is why every time their minister, they will say, go and bow at the altar. He said, there's blood of human being under the altar. Apostle. He said, Amarachi is a winch of Endor. Yes. He preached the message, he titled it, Witch of Endor, and Amarachi is his problem. And he said something, that our evangelistic ministry, our outreach, the name we bear is the Bride's Voice. I read in a message that the man preached, he titled the third pool, and that he said, if you watch television, he said, you will see that thing that Moses is doing there. He said, they call it the Bride's Voice. He said, that can never be the Bride's Voice. That is his problem. He said, we can never be the Bride's Voice. He is the Bride's Voice. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And if you disagree with him, he fight you, fire you, preach you. He's a lawyer and very eloquent. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And he's saying, he preached another message, he titled The Input of Ham. In that message, he's trying to say that Noah had three children, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. He said, Shem is the Middle East. Japheth is the Western world. He said, Ham is the Africans. He said, the gospel has been with Shem. It moved from Shem to Japheth, America, and the Western world. He said, now it is time for Ham. And the gospel is coming through him to Africa. That is, God will now use an African to spearhead another revival. And I replied him. I said, when the gospel got to Israel, Shem, I said, there was a reaction all over the world. The whole world knew. A whole city stood still when it started on the day of Pentecost. When the gospel moved to the west, in the time of Martin Luther, the whole world shook. In the time of John Wesley, the whole world shook. And when it got to America, the whole world shook. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I told him, when it will come to Africa, it will not hide in one little group of people. They not reach 100 members. And they have been on that place there since 1991. That church started. And they never reached 100. And he said he's the one for the whole world to hear. You know that certainly a psychiatric problem is going on in that man, the mind of that man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now that is the truth. A demon has possessed him. And that spirit is in the Bible. In expectation of the coming of the Messiah. Acts chapter 5. Open it. Acts chapter 5. Verse 33. Are we there? Are we there? Acts chapter 5. Verse 33. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them, the disciples, when the revival was going on. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had a reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do as touching this man. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. Say the statement. And now, I say unto you, refrain from these men, and leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if you be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Lest haply you be found even to fight against God. Praise the Lord. So, Theudas was there. Judas of Galilee also came up at his own time. So we will not be surprised when we hear Amos Omoboriowo and his days. It's the same spirit with different names. Praise the Lord. It's an antichrist spirit sent forth to destabilize our focus. We're in expectation for the voice of the archangel that will produce the seven thunders. The seven thunders burst forth a revival. Hallelujah. The seven thunders will utter things. Hallelujah. Things that John was not allowed to write. These seven thunders, through the voice of the archangel, will now cause the bride that has heard the shout and come out. They will hear what will now give them rapturing faith. There is something you will hear. Hallelujah. That when they tell you, go and be vice presidential candidate, Pastor Thomas. Pastor Thomas, go and be vice presidential candidate of a political party in Nigeria as a pastor. Hallelujah. You will not agree to go. But for now, Tunebakari can go because he has no rapturing faith. Praise the Lord. He didn't even hear the shout. So he didn't hear the shout. So he's just in position to go ahead with them. Because if he had heard the shout, the position of the bride now, we are so close, so close, so close, that pastors and ministers are beginning to position themselves spiritually to be able to hear something they will tell their people. That revelation that they begin to give includes, like William Branham said, he said, in the seventh seal, he said, why nothing is heard, why the seven thunders were not allowed to be written, whatever they say, he said, there is a secret there that if Satan gets to know, he will mess it up. And one of it is the day and the hour. He said, no man knoweth the day nor the hour. But church, every woman that we marry knows the day of her wedding date. Hallelujah. We will know. Amen. And there is nothing like anybody will deceive us, because there will be a grace that will be released upon us, that when the truth is spoken, something inside of you will bear witness. Oh, not the one that said this war will end in May this year. Not that one. Amen. So, what is John's ministry? John's ministry is the last move of God before the rapture. He said, John, you will. He said, he ate the book. That means it is a revelation. He received the revelation that was in that book. In the mouth, it is sweet as honey. But in the belly, it was bitter. Bitter in the sense that it was troubling the stomach. It is not going to be comfortable for the body. That lets me know, praise the Lord, this entire message that we are hearing now is going to graduate to a level. To say it in the mouth is sweet, but for you to obey it is going to be difficult for you. It's going to take some trouble. There's going to be some serious fight within you to be able to position you to walk according to what is written in that book. How will it look like when somebody will tell you, for instance, I don't know what they will say, I'm just using an example. For instance, you are the permanent secretary in a ministry, and then you hear that you should resign. You should resign. You are a billionaire, and somebody say, go and collect all your money and give it to one orphanage. It's time to go home.
It's sweet to hear, but bitter. You know, so, eh? All this, my money. I give my house. And yet, you will know it is God talking. But you will know, it's time to go home. In the time of Nehemiah, it is time to go home. In the time of Moses leaving Egypt, imagine the type of message they gave them. They are not going to live with their certificates of occupancy concerning the land they own in Egypt. All the assets they own, God, they say, collect only their gold. Collect only their trinkets. Not because they are going to wear it in the wilderness, but they were going to use it later on, because he was going to use that gold to build an altar to worship God. Hallelujah. He said, collect it. All that you need is only the thing that you will use to worship me in the wilderness. Don't take any extra shoe. Don't take any extra cloth. The Bible says they traveled for 40 years. Their cloth did not change. Their shoe did not wear out. When God speaks, hallelujah, he watches over his word to perform it. He will do it in a way that everybody will know this is God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who is John? John is that group, that element, the group of people, the bride of Jesus Christ globally. Not bride assembly, Lagos, oh, globally. All of a sudden, an anointing will be released upon them. He said, thou must prophesy again. They will see God roar again among a people. William Branham saw it. He spoke about the last move of God before the rapture will strike. He said he wished he can be there. The anointing will be released, and it will not be on one person. It is on a global level. The bride of Jesus Christ, neatly connected to the Holy Ghost. It's not you now telling me what to do. We are all connected. When you come to bride assembly here, for instance, you will not be looking for any prophet to see. Right from the gate there, somebody will see you. Yes, what are you looking for? My life is not working. Why? My container is seized. He said, go. Your container is released. Security for gate. And he will go. In fact, before he moved, they will phone him. Your container has been released. And William Branham says, in the adoption, he said, at that time, he said that the bride will be so one with the Spirit. The Spirit and the bride, they say, come. You'll be so one. He said, you will no longer pray in Jesus' name. Because anything you say comes to pass. Hallelujah. And he demonstrated it for us to see. When that anointing was upon him and he was teaching on this last move. Hallelujah. All he will tell is, do you believe me to be a servant of God? You are suffering from cancer. He said, go, it is over. And it will disappear. You are a cripple. Do you believe me to be a servant of God? He said, rise and walk. He said, you will no longer pray in the name of Jesus. He said, what you see happening in my ministry now, when that time comes, you will see it in a majority. Blessed be the name of the Lord. John's ministry is the last move of God, spearheaded by seven men that God himself will choose globally. They are the seven thunders. Men that God will use to speak in their locations. How many continents do we have in the world? So will you be surprised if one is in each continent? Praise the Lord. Africa, we have our own, and it will not be Amos Omoborewo. The reason is because Amos Omoborewo does not have the Holy Ghost. He told me this by himself. Hallelujah. No, he told me this in 1995. I was a member of his church. And he said he didn't have the Holy Ghost. I told him, I have the Holy Ghost. He said, shut up. Do you know what the Holy Ghost? I said, you can't explain that away from me. I know who I was before. And I know who I am now. I have the Holy Ghost. If you don't have, I have. And so, when they started saying he's this, I asked his members, has he received the Holy Ghost now? You don't have the Holy Ghost, you are claiming a monumental ministry. Amen. And secondly, praise the Lord. He says he's an apostle. There is the sign of an apostle. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 12. The signs of an apostle, they are written there. In mighty deeds, in patience, in signs and wonders. He said, they are the signs of the apostle that was wrought among the Corinthian church. Hallelujah. An apostle, amen. I taught you during the Friday night. I said, an apostle encompasses all other ministries. An apostle will have a measure of the gift of prophecy. An apostle will have the measure of the gift of evangelism. An apostle will have the measure of a teacher and a pastor. All is there because ministries are produced from an apostle. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And my brother does not see vision, neither does he pray for sick people. Over there, hallelujah, there's only one gift that is operating in that church. Two or three people that every service they prophesy to him. My servant. Hey, church, hear my servant. All the prophecies given to him is the same prophecy that 400 prophets of Ahab gave him to believe them and go and be destroyed. Praise the Lord. How can you have the Holy Ghost and not recognize the Holy Ghost in another church? That's the error. Praise the Lord. Oh, maybe you think I'm saying this behind him. See, amen. There are people that are here now. After service, they will get this tape and go and give him. That's why I'm preaching it hard like this. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And they know me because I meet them and I tell them face to face. An apostle holds the line of truth. Amen. This man wrote a book concerning Raymond Jackson. He said that Raymond Jackson will not die. He is the one that will lead us to the seven thunders and to the rapture. A whole book he wrote. Shortly after he wrote the book, the man died. Hallelujah. I phoned him and I got an appointment with him. I went to his church. I said, see the book where you write. Now the man don't die. What have you got to say? Very smart. He wrote another book. He said, my defense. He know people like me will come. Instead of repenting, one of the last prophecies that William Branham gave, concerning those seven visions, was that a woman will rule America. And so, as an apostle, he organized a convention and began to tell them when Obama and Hillary Clinton were doing their primaries, to tell you that he is the one now. Listen to me. He said, Hillary is that woman William Branham spoke about. They were still doing their primaries. I called my wife because I read it from the net. I read what he said in his website. I tell you, sir, they follow and where. So I read it. And immediately I called my wife. I said, come and see what Amos is saying. You see now. I said, see, he wants to be seen as something. Had it been Hillary won, that man will have said, I told you, I am the one. So, when the Hillary no win, I send a text to him. How far now she no win? Blessed be the name of the Lord. All people just seeing a ministry and running ahead. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. No other minister has been produced by him so far. From 1990 until now that his church started, he's the only minister in that church. Of course, there are too few now, 100 of them. Who will be minister? Who will be pastor? Praise the Lord. What I'm saying, amen, is to tell you that be focused. Don't let any of these spirits, because there are many. In the entire message, there are many. Thunder came up. It scattered everybody. See, one sister, where they sit down, she was part of them before. Where okay, Chi? Eh? She was there before. Chiwe. She was there before. See her there. Chiwe. Thunder. Cha, cha, cha. Thunder. And she was there. And if she has a revelation, that's a prophetess there. If she has a revelation, tell them in the church, shut up. There's no prophet. Only William Branham is prophet. And so they kill her gift. It was when she came here. You people saw when she was arrested here. By fire, by force. Hallelujah. Before that gift came up again. And you know how what God has used that gift to do for your family. Blind leading the blind. Full of grammar and English. Full of charisma. If you watch him demonstrating and talking, unless you listen carefully, you will think he's actually saying something. But he's saying nothing. Praise the Lord. Time is short. Let me read the seven visions that William Branham saw. And then we close. The seven church age message preached by William Branham. I'm reading on page 321 of that message. This is what he said. The Laodicean age, that's the last church age, began around the turn of the 20th century, perhaps 1906. How long will it last as a servant of God who has had multitudes of visions of which none has ever failed? Let me predict, and he put in bracket, I did not say prophesy, but predict. I love this man because this man was too honest to himself. If it is thus said the Lord, he will say, it is thus said the Lord. If not him the talk, he will say, now, not me. That this age will end around 1977. If you will pardon a personal note here, I base this prediction on seven major continuous visions that came to me one Sunday morning in June 1933. The Lord Jesus spoke to me and said that the coming of the Lord was drawing nigh, but that before he came, seven major events will transpire. I wrote them all down, and that morning I gave forth the revelation of the Lord. The first vision was that Mussolini will invade Ethiopia and that nation will fall at his steps. That vision surely did cause some repercussions. And so we are very angry when I said it and will not believe it. But it happened that way. He just walked in there with his modern arms and took over. The natives didn't have a chance. But the vision also said that Mussolini will come to a horrible end with his own people turning on him. That came to pass just exactly as it was said. The next vision foretold that an Austrian by the name of Adolf Hitler, God gave him the name long before Hitler came up, by the name of Adolf Hitler, will rise up as a dictator over Germany and that he will draw the world into war. It showed the Silk Road line and how our troops, the American troops, will have a terrible time to overcome it. Then it showed that Hitler will come to a mysterious end. The third vision was in the realm of world politics, for it showed me that there will be three great isms: fascism, Nazism, and communism. But that the first two, that is fascism and Nazism, will be swallowed up into the third. The third one is communism. That communism will swallow up the other two. The voice admonished, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Keep your eye on the king of the north. You know what is king of the north? Ezekiel chapter 38. The king of the north. That's why we teach you, we tell you that Russia is going to lead that war. Lead the Arab nations against Israel. That war in Ezekiel chapter 38 and chapter 39. The Spirit told him in 1933, watch Russia. Watch Russia. Amen. And you know that he didn't say watch communism. The voice didn't say watch communism. He said watch Russia. Watch Russia. Communism is gone. But is Russia not still strong today? Okay. The fourth vision
showed the great advances in science that will come after the Second World War. It was headed up in the vision of a plastic bubble-topped car that was running down beautiful highways under remote control, so that people appeared seated in this car without a steering wheel, and they were playing some sort of a game to amuse themselves. You know that car has been produced. They are busy developing it more and more. Let me finish. The fifth vision had to do with the moral problem of our age, centering mostly around women. God showed me that women began to be out of their place with the granting of the vote. Then they cut off their hair, which signified that they were no longer under the authority of a man, but insisted on either equal rights, or in most cases, more than equal rights. She adopted men's clothing and went into a state of undress, until the last picture I saw was a woman naked except for a little fig leaf type apron. With this vision, I saw the terrible perversion and moral plight of the whole world. Is it not on now? He saw this in 1933 when things were still normal. Then in the sixth vision, there arose up in America a most beautiful but cruel woman. That is where Amos Mobile will pick up. She held the people in her complete power. I believe that this was the rise of the Roman Catholic Church, though I knew it could possibly be a vision of some woman rising in great power in America due to a popular vote by women. The last and seventh vision was wherein I had a most terrible explosion. As I turned to look, I saw nothing but debris, craters, and smoke all over the land of America. And you know, out of these seven, five has come to pass. Mussolini on came to pass. Adolf Hitler came to pass. The bubble car that you see, I saw when they had a test. I was watching on the Discovery Channel of a vehicle that traveled it was moving on 40 kilometers per hour with sensors all over, and they just sat there, no steering in the vehicle. So it moves when it is going off the road, it comes back and moves like that. If it's going close to a vehicle, it will stop by itself. If the road is free, it increases speed by itself. If it senses anything, it reduces speed. And they were testing it because they want to now do that. Unknown to them, God showed it as one of the signs of the end time. But only the followers of William Branham will see that thing and know that redemption is near. The fourth one, you saw where he spoke about the woman. That woman to rule America, the fourth one is a decadence, moral decadence. Until he saw the woman covered just like a fig leaf, like that, apron, just cover herself. She was just naked. They were careful road. But it's not happening now. You go to the beach, you see what you will see there. Not even beach. Go everywhere. Everywhere you see them there. Not in Africa, because in Africa, if you come up, police now will still arrest you. Okay? Not here. But you go to those so-called Europe and America. There are beaches where everybody walk naked for there. They are naked. So we are, it's freedom. Freedom walk anyhow. And then, the fifth one, a woman to rule America. And I tie it down. I said, it's possible the Catholic Church will have that power when an American Pope will be elected. But like he said, it's also possible that women can come together and say, woman must rule us now. And the women are more in majority. And they will win. But he said that woman was cruel. And then the last one is that he saw America blown up to pieces. See? America was blown up to pieces. But I believe that before it will blow off, the bride in America will leave. He can't blow them up. You don't know that it's because of us there's peace in Nigeria. Praise the Lord. Can't you have a reason now to rethink on your eternal destination? I took a long time because I don't want to break this message so that the flow of the grace will not break. Because it's a message we preach always. Get the tape and listen to them when you leave here. Immediately we close, the DVD is ready. Can't you see? And God is speaking to us through the message Sister Favor gave. And a young man came to me and had serious experiences, Brother Fidelis. Serious experiences that even when I was talking with him in my office, he was still afraid. He said what he saw, he has not recovered. And after that, a song gave him. Remember, he said that years back, he had been hearing a voice telling him that he will take him home. He should prepare to go home. He didn't understand. Does it mean he's dying or something like that? He had some serious experience wherever he was. Time passed until things happened that he couldn't help but begin to look for church. Until one day, somebody directed him here. He said, the day he stepped in here, that voice that has been talking to him for years spoke to him. He said, now you are on your way home. And a song began to come to him. He picked his Bible and wrote the song down. If you give me 5 minutes, let's hear it. Sheila, let's hear that song. That song is not in any hymn book. It's not in any cassette. It's not for sale anywhere.
Shall rise to meet the Lord.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's a complete message. And this is somebody that has not yet had these revelations. The same thing I'm telling you now, he was hearing it in the spirit in a song. He began to write what he was hearing down. Brethren, I took so much of your time this afternoon, but I will need to do that. This ministry is raised up to prepare us for homegoing. And anything that you need to know concerning homegoing, we will take all the time and tell you. One of these days, there will be no more fellowship. When the Spirit was telling Sister Favor that she should hold that book very well, has she bought the Bible? She should buy more. That the time is going to come. What he was saying is in the Bible. It's in Amos chapter 8. Can somebody help me read it? He said, time will come when there will be famine in the land. He said, it will not be famine of bread, food to eat. It will be a famine of hearing the word of God. And it is the word, it's God's truth that the angel was telling her, buy your own now. Because the time is going to come when you don't know where God will send you to. You won't hear any of these things we are telling you now. Some of you here, you will go abroad. You are looking for visa to go abroad. When you go, where will you be? You won't hear these things you are hearing now. So take your time now and get connected. Load yourself with revelation. Proverbs 23, verse 23 says, buy the truth and sell it not. That's what the angel was telling him. Telling her. May you be in that number. May somebody's eternal destination be taken more seriously from today in the name of Jesus. I want to see you in the rapture. I want this fellowship to continue in heaven. I don't want anybody to go to hell after all this opportunity. Make your calling an election sure. Don't joke with eternal destination. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Something will soon take place that ordinary churchgoers will never get to know anything about it. But the opportunity you have now, can we bow down our heads? Give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough. Oh Lord, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace. That's your prayer now. That's your prayer.
Give your grace to follow.
Your grace is enough. Oh Lord, give me grace. Oh Lord, abundant grace to follow. Give me grace to follow. Your grace is enough. Oh Lord, give me grace to follow. Abundant grace to follow. I was telling Pastor Thomas, I said there's a prayer I always pray now, every day. I say, Lord, I didn't know about William Branham before you revealed that ministry to me. You made me to see that ministry because you have ordained me to be part of the bride in this age. Lord, the next move, which is the shout, and the voice of the archangel, the seven thunders, Lord, don't let me miss it. Position me to hear the seven thunders. Can that also be somebody's prayer here? Open your mouth and talk to God. Every move of God, let me be part of it, Lord.
I'm talking to people who want to go to heaven.
See me through.
Yes, Lord. That's our prayer.
Keep me true. Lord Jesus, heal me true. There is a rain. I must run. Down the grocery to be one. Give me back. Give me back.
Certainly, you know, this prayer point is not a prayer point in the church. It's a prayer point where you withdraw between you and God and let the Lord know you mean it, you want to go in the rapture. And may God grant your heart desire in the name of Jesus. May the Lord never place you in a pathway of error in the name of Jesus Christ. And your journey, you must reach the end. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. If you are not too angry with me, can you clap your hands for Jesus? Clap your hands for Jesus Christ. Okay. Let's conclude our formalities and I'll bless you. Today is the first Sunday for the month of March. Everybody will be anointed. But please just, let's take our offerings and then we shall close shortly. We'll bless you and we'll close. Hallelujah. Just one brother will just come out to say, two brothers will come out to say thank you for their marriage. Thank God for their marriage. That's all. We share the grace. Can we take our building offering now quickly? Let me still lead that offering so that we can hurry up. Those of you who made your vows, whatever it is, can you be at the altar quickly?